91.1 WHFC, you're on the Career Explorers podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Terry. So, maybe you're a prospective career seeker. Maybe you're looking to make a move. Maybe you're looking for information on what's out there. Either way, Career Explorers has you covered and brings you new, exciting professions that you, yes, you, can do with a little know-how and schooling. So, let's say you're good with your hands. You're crafty, you're adaptable to unique situations, and you're a problem solver. Have you ever considered becoming a certified prosthetic orthotic technician and help create cutting-edge artificial prosthetics for those in need? My information specialist today is Will McComas, the technical lab director at Real Life Prosthetics, and he makes said prosthetics in the lab. If you've ever wondered about a job like this, you'll want to listen in. Will, welcome to Career Explorers.
Thanks for having me.
So, Will, talk to me. Let's just talk about your journey getting into your position. How did you find your way into this role?
So, it seems to me that most people that come in to be prosthetic and orthotic technicians kind of come in the same way. It's such a niche field. Like, you know, how many people really think like, yeah, I want to build prosthetics and orthotics, you know? One of the owners of the company, I had met him and got to talking with him, and he spotted that I was good with my hands, you know, had a good mind, good head on my shoulders, and he offered me a job. And he actually didn't tell me what he did. I kept asking him, like, what do you do? And he said, I build things. So I was like, okay.
All right.
Right? So I'm like, okay. Like, I thought he was like a carpenter or, you know, something like that.
Okay.
And, then he calls me a couple weeks later. I come into the shop and was kind of almost scared because I came in. There's a bunch of hands and stuff hanging off of this post, this tree. I'm like, oh, my gosh, look like some House of Wax type scenario.
Wow.
And he said, yeah, we build prosthetics and orthotics here. So that's how I fell into it. It kind of found me. And most technicians I've talked to, that's how they've got in. Somebody in the field brought them on, and that's how most of the technicians that I've spoken to have gotten into the field.
So let's say that, you know, I'm considering this occupation. What kind of training, what kind of education do I need to work in a prosthetic lab and become a technical director?
So there are two avenues to become a prosthetic technician. Actually, I've written down because I took the experience and then education route.
Okay.
There is a education route, which you would get a license through C, Commission of Accreditation of Allied Health and Education. And then, so there's CAA, HEP, and then NCOPE, which is the national, I don't know what it is, to be honest with you, but it's, you go to, there's four colleges in the country. There's Juliet Junior College in Illinois. There's Bluegrass Community and Technical College in Kentucky. There's Century College in Minnesota. And then Spokane Falls Community College in Washington. And I know there's other colleges coming out with programs for prosthetic and orthotic technicians. But the way that I got in was basically an apprenticeship program.
Okay.
Where you would practice under a certified or licensed practitioner or technician in the desired field that you want to go into. If you want orthotics, you would need a CTO, certified technician of orthotics. If you wanted to go into prosthetics, you'd be underneath of a CTP, a certified technician of prosthetics. So you would do that for 2 years, and that would make you eligible to test out for your certifications. And that route is how I went about getting my certifications and getting to the position I'm in now.
So there's schooling available and there's apprenticeships available.
Yes.
So you can learn. And what better way to learn is by learning on the job, you know, doing this. And as I understand it, the technology in this field is ever growing and it's ever changing.
Oh, yeah.
And for our Career Explorers listeners, I remember our first interview with Real Life Prosthetics, and I was blown away. I was blown away just to hear about the integration of computer technology with prosthetics these days. What are some of the new technologies that are on the horizon in artificial limbs and prosthetics right now?
So one of the newest forms is what's called osseointegration. And one of our patients just did this, and he's an upper extremity, which would be your an arm prosthetic. He's above the elbow.
Okay.
And his device uses myoelectric impulses that are in your nerve endings to ambulate the hand and the wrist and all that. So what you would do, you would put nodes inside the prosthetic socket and on the patient. And then you would calibrate, you'd tell the patient to, you know, try using your amputated limb and pretend that your hand is still there, right? And in doing that, try to pick up this cup like you regularly would. And that fires myoelectric impulses from your brain to your nerves, and it picks up those electronic waves that your brain puts out. And then what we do is we capture that, and we would calibrate it to each individual motion. It's really, really awesome, and like it's a lot more intricate than I thought. They basically have like these little AirTag like notes, right, that you could place around your house, your car, like you know, if you're in the bathroom or the shower, or you know, say you work a desk job at a keyboard, you can put like this little AirTag there, and then it senses that it's near that. It's like, okay, these are the tasks that we're going to do. Okay, we're driving. Okay, you're just walking around like, okay, yeah, we're just normal, right? And we're just anything. So that's one of the really interesting technologies that's new, and we're very thankful to be able to work so closely with our patient that is, you know, gone through basically the trial of this. It's very interesting.
So you're talking literally about a bionic arm.
Yes.
This is a bionic arm. It's taking electrical impulses from the brain, and those impulses are being translated into computer binary codes that manipulate the said hand,
yes,
the said appendage. I mean, we're almost kind of like in a Star Wars territory.
I was going to get there. It's kind of like Luke. It's kind of more like Anakin's arm than Luke's, you know.
But still, this is amazing. I mean, we're talking about, this is the future here, you know, bionics, computer chips integrated with prosthetics. And how about right now? I mean, what are some of the most cutting edge technologies that are available right now? Is this one of them?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's that video that Dana was just showing you, that's right now. That just happened. It's that was what, less than a week ago? Yeah, the crazy thing is how intricate it is that it can send feedback. So like there's been robotic hands and things like that in the past, but one of the issues is say the patient's holding a Royal Farms or Styrofoam coffee cup. And they're holding it. They got to the point, okay, yeah, that's comfortable. Then they look away and they're not paying attention to it. Well, they crush the coffee cup.
Okay.
Because there's no feedback. Well, these ones have feedback. So you can feel, the patient can sense how much pressure they're putting on something. So they don't have to worry about overpowering something that they're holding or underpowering. It's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun to see. And like I said, just be a part. Like, I mean, like, you know, somebody loses their arm, like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to do the things that I did before. And we're getting there.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, and for those of you that couldn't see, I saw a video of someone using said bionic arm. So this technology is here. This is available. And these are things that can change people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is restoring lost ability. And for someone who isn't, say, familiar with the creation of prosthetic limbs, I mean, there's so many things that you can make these materials out of. What are some of these materials? I mean, like, what are some of the challenges of working with some of these unique materials?
So in your fabrication process, it really depends to what the patient needs. You know, I mean, if they're going for like a water leg or something like that, you want like a thermoplastic that is like water repellent. One of the main materials that we use in our definitive sockets are carbon fiber. And so in particular, that upper extremity myoelectric prosthesis. One of the challenges with that is carbon fiber conducts electricity.
Okay.
So if you don't lay up your nodes properly, what can happen is the carbon fiber can pick that up or give it the wrong impulse. So you have to be pretty delicate with your lamination and your laying up placement, your buildups of material, things like that. And there's so many different materials to use now. Like as a standard, everybody uses carbon fiber. Some people use basalt. That kind of looks like carbon fiber. It kind of looks like a fake carbon fiber almost.
Okay.
But it's really good. It's there's benefits to that where it's more flexible. Like say like a athlete, like a football player, they might like the basalt more because it has more give. So when they get a, you know, like juke or something like that, which they're totally capable of doing on a prosthetic, it has some flex to it, so they don't feel that resistance of the rigidity of carbon. There's always new materials coming out. Like for one I'm trying to get my hands on is called Dyneema.
Dyneema.
And it is, I believe it's 5 times stronger than carbon with its weight ratio. So like so for 5 layers of carbon, you would only need 1 layer of this Dyneema, and they're using it on like different boats and things like that. And I'm really trying to get my hands on this stuff, man. It's like
man, the passion. I mean, this, but it sounds like you never stop learning, really. Okay. The technology keeps on ever changing. Mm-hmm. And so what I imagine the techniques, I mean, these are all custom tailored items that you are creating for people. And I imagine no day is the same, right?
Oh, no.
I mean,
nope.
I think one of the things that, you know, people really like about listening in to the Career Explorers is I always try to ask someone, what's like a window into the job? I'm thinking that no day is the same. And I mean, these are all very highly customized creations that you're doing here. But if you can, is there like an average day working in a technical lab for prosthetics?
It can be. Especially like to people who don't know, you might be like envisioning like this like highly scientific lab where, you know, we got like just all kinds of crazy things all over the place. And really, I think the way that people should view what this is it's basically an art studio that you mix art with science.
Wow.
And it's, there's a lot of sculpting, like, you know, plaster molds. Like, that's how the fabrication process starts, is through plaster. So there's a lot of working with plaster. You know, there's shaping, doing laminations, researching componentry to use. It's basically adult Legos, you know, and it's...
That's interesting. Yeah, adult Legos.
Yeah, it's highly scientific Legos.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, that's one way you could think of it. And, you know, there's constantly different patients and, you know, you see different things. Like, you'd be like, wow, like, you know, this patient, their leg is massive, you know, like you're carrying around like an 80-pound mold for like this above the knee leg, or, you know, look at how skinny this one is, and, you know, how are we supposed to be able to bust out our positive mold of this to get it? And there's so much to it, but it's always just so fun. Honestly, it's such a fun job. You know, you come in, you look at what devices need to be made, and you try to sort out which ones will take you this amount of time, and what can I do in between that time where you have to let like resins cure, or let your plaster set up, and, you know, moving jobs from the day before from an alignment jig, which we can get into later. And I apologize, I'm very all over the place. Like, and that's very our business is. It's very, very all over the place. Just so many different intricate devices being made at once, you know, and it's...
You're thinking it's 3 steps ahead.
Oh, yeah. Seven.
Seven, okay.
It's fun, you know. I try to teach to everybody that's coming after me is concepts. Like, everything that we do in here is based off of a concept of something we've done before or something that we haven't done before. There was a man years ago that had said, you take the best innovations in our field are made from your hobbies. And you take your inspiration from your hobbies and bring that into the field. And that's really...
That's something.
that's how it grows. That's how I've grown. You know, that's how I've innovated things in our business. And it's inspiring, especially, you know, like people who are creative and like to do things. You know, you can bring that. You bring that to work. There's a ABC, your A being your starting point, B being your fabrication point, and C being your finished job. And A and C are going to be the same for everybody. But B, that's where you are. That's where you as the technician are, because everybody has a different B.
And it begins with a mold, right? You said they all begin with a mold. So there's kind of like a universal starting point.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's different ways of achieving the mold. Like we'll do fiberglass wraps to get a negative. Yeah, there's plaster wraps. You can do scans and CAD. You can use CAD scans and send them off.
So there is 3D technology.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so there's imaging.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, yeah, we have like these attachments on iPads that will scan the patient's limb. Could be sound or not. I mean, orthotic is a patient that still has their limb, and then a prosthetic is someone that's had amputation. And yeah, you scan the limb and whatever you need. Like, you know, sometimes we'll send them out to central fabrication and send a scan, modifications on CAD, send that out. Or, you know, do basically an analog where you wrap the patient's limb with fiberglass or plaster and you capture the volume that way.
And the size, so it's all sizing, it's all customizing.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some life skills, right? These are important life skills that you need in order to succeed in a job like this. So that kind of begs my next question. What are some of the organizational skills, mathematical skills, and, you know, you're working with people, interpersonal skills. What are some of the life skills that you really need to have to be successful in this role?
So those.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So right. Basic knowledge of mathematical skills, you know, really it's like using tools, understanding like conceptually how, you know, tools work, how materials can work. Like, it's like sculpting, like additive and subtractive sculpting when you're doing modifications on like an orthotic device, because like the preparation for everything that you do is the most important. It's your foundation. You know, if you build a house on sand, it's not going to last long. So you want to have foresight into what you're doing. Like I said, base knowledge of tools, mathematical skills. We don't as a technician, you don't need to see patients. So if you're like a recluse or something like that, it's almost a perfect job for you.
Oh, okay.
And if you're also very into talking to people, it's almost a perfect job for you, because you can see patients. You know, you're working with your colleagues. You know, really, that's the beauty of it. It's really what you want to make of it. Is, you know, like, but we were running late today because I was like, dude, I want to be in on this delivery for this patient, because I love seeing the reaction and just of her receiving her devices and how excited she is to get to a walk and, you know, comfortably walk. You know, she was almost in tears saying, like, you know, before I had the devices I had previously made, she wasn't even able to walk.
Wow.
You know, I told the practitioner to tell her bring in a custom material so I can make them hers. You know, like, nobody's going to have anything that looks like this anywhere in the world. And, you know, just the way she receives it. And so I had to be there for that. So I apologize for minutes late.
No, not at all.
But, you know, I didn't have to do that. You know, if I didn't want to go see the patient, I could be in the bag just making more things happen, you know.
So flexibility, and what you're hinting on is some work-life balance, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good work-life balance?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
I'd say so, yeah. I think it's pretty great, you know. Like, our schedules are pretty good and flexible, mine in particular. And it just depends what needs to be done. You know, it's like, if we have a ton of work, you want to work some overtime, go right ahead. You know, you got cut out, like, oh, hey, something happened. Yeah, go on. We'll take care of it. You know, it's really good. And I think, in particular in our company, like family is a big part of it. So it's very important. So
good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good work-life balance.
Now, this next question, students always want to know this, you know.
Right.
What am I going to make? Well, you know, it's just like any job. You know, when you first start out, you know, it takes time to build up to something. And what are we looking at here as far as, like, say, like a pay scale for this kind of a technician job? I mean, are we looking at, you tell me, yeah, are we looking at 40, 50,000 on up? I mean, where are we looking at for a pay scale?
I'd say, so like starting out as a prosthetic or orthotic technician, you can look to start out at about 40.
Okay.
And then really from that point, it's up to you. You know, you could, if you go in the route that I did, you know, no college, kind of an apprenticeship type program, and then testing out for certifications. You know, you can look starting out at 40 in your apprenticeship position, and then whatever you bring to the table. I mean, like, you know, if you kick off and you're doing great, you know, you can, and it really depends too on the company that you work for, because, you know, there's some big companies out there, and they do pretty good, and it really just depends on what you bring. You know, the sky is the limit. But I'd say, like, starting out, you're looking at like 40.
Okay.
You go get certified, and, you know, over time, you know, 50, 60, and then, you know, whatever you bring. You know, you can, if you just want to be stagnant and stuff, then you're going to be stagnant. But if you're a good worker, you bring good good energy in, and you do well, and the volume warrants it, then, yeah, it's really up to you.
Wow.
Like, sky's the limit. It's exciting. You know, it's exciting. Like, you know, if you're a go-getter, you have ideas and stuff, you can be excited about the position. But I'd say starting out, I'd say about 40,000 a year.
Okay. All right. And there's room to move up, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's room to move up. And like you said, it is what you make it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if the sky is the limit, you know.
Yeah.
Hey.
It truly is. It truly is. There's lots of innovation, and it's, you got to think too, it's like, it's such a niche field, right? And it's innovation is constantly happening, and a lot of these people have been doing it for so long, they get trapped in a box, so it makes it hard for them to innovate. And I really want to encourage somebody who wants to do something that's going to truly impact other people's lives, be a fun job, and you can really just flourish if you have creativity. Even I don't want to say it's a young field, but in a way it is, especially with the way technology and stuff is. So yeah, you can do pretty well for yourself if you are passionate about your job.
Job outlook, how does that look for the field? Growing?
Oh yeah, it's growing.
Okay.
It's growing. All yeah, right. Yeah, more people. Yeah, it's booming. I wish I had more information as to why. We're seeing there's a good bit of growth.
Really?
In our field, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So one thing that I do want to just kind of go back to is the technology again, because I'm still reeling. I mean, you've talked to me now about literally bionics in these prosthetics. How do you keep up to date with all of this technology? Are there seminars? Are there continuing education classes?
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
So there's like tons of different ways. I mean, you know, these big companies will come out with new products, like your highly scientific Legos, as it were.
Right.
They'll come out with new ones, and, you know, they'll have like reps come, and they'll show us like new innovations that their companies have made, and hey, you can start using this, the proper applications, or, you know, we've made this, if you guys can think of a way to use it, like, here it is, here's this. You know, you see other companies, like, you know, we'll follow them on like Instagram and things, and see how they're doing. And you have your continuing education credits you need depending on what your certifications or license are. It depends on what that is, how many you need over the course of 5 years. But yeah, they have like these massive seminars in like Vegas and Atlantic City and Orlando And, you know, like the company will send you there, you know, you go for a weekend, knock out 30 credits, you know, you're like, oh man, I didn't really do much the past 4 years. I need to get, you know, 30 credits in. I'm like, oh yeah, go to Atlantic City, you know, go sit down and check out these seminars. And they have them online as well. You can go like at your leisure, you know, turn on your computer, sit in a 1 hour seminar, get a couple credits for it here and there. It's just, it's constantly evolving. I mean, you're even getting into, you know, pet prosthetics. You know, I saw somebody made a
pet prosthetics.
Yeah. So
no kidding.
This, I hope this doesn't sound too dark, but so like, say, you know, a horse breaks its leg. They kind of really didn't have, I would say, the most ethical way of treating that. So this team built a prosthetic leg for a horse. For a horse.
Wow.
You know, changed that horse's life, made it a lot better and longer.
Yeah.
You know, by doing that. But it's such a growing field. There's so much you can do with it. There's so much you get out of it. There's so many things that you know, you learn that you bring home with you. Like, you're like, hey, like, how can I fix this little widget, you know, on this thing that I have at home? Just from that, you can either A, bring something that you learned at work to be able to fix or make it better, or B, bring that to work, and then now you are figuring out and problem solving something that you like or have, and you're bringing that into the field that you could possibly apply to creating a device.
Let me ask you this, because I'm still just reeling about the whole bionics thing. Are all of these prosthetics, are they all waterproof? Are they all water resistant, or does it really depend on, because I mean, we're in April when we're recording this episode of Career Explorers, and as you know, lots of rain in the month of April. So that's kind of been on my mind. How is like the water resistance of prosthetics these days?
So as far as the socket goes, it's pretty water resistant,
right?
So you don't have to worry about it. Really what you have to do is that's where your components come in. Like, what are you intending on doing? Are you going swimming in a swimming pool? Are you going to go to the beach with this thing? Okay, this has a microprocessor in it, and this one, if it gets wet, will be destroyed. But this microprocessor knee, you can take in a swimming pool. You know, it really depends, and that's part of, you know, the scientific Lego is like, which part do I want to use for this? What is the intended use? What does this patient do for a living? What do they like to do recreationally? And then really the practitioners are the ones that'll go and pick those out. But, you know, as a technician, you know, you help out with that as well sometimes. And with that, it is beyond the level of customization you could even think. You know, it's, again, sky's the limit. It really just depends. And, you know, there's constant innovations. You know, you have people in the field that are amputees themselves and are like, man, you know, I want a better version of this. Or like, why doesn't this knee do this? Why doesn't this foot do this? Then, you know, next thing you know, another one comes out. And hey, look, now for patients that do that, that is available.
And they upgrade. They can upgrade over time, right?
Yeah, so it depends with your insurance. I think like the standard. So you come in, you get a socket. Say you get a new device. I think it's about 5 years you have that device for. And it really depends. There's different ways of going about it, especially our company. Like, we always fight to try to get the patient what they want.
Right,
you know, like,
right.
Hey, like, what are you doing? And then, you know, you have to kind of, sometimes you have to battle with insurance to be like, hey, look, like, no, they need this. They need this. Like, this guy, you know, this guy's going swimming. We like it or not. You know, we gotta make him a water leg. You know, that type of stuff. And, you know, we really try to get the patient what they want and need. And, you know, yeah, sometimes it all really depends. But, yeah, the upgrades, yeah, you know, you come back in, hey, we got what you like, but this one's better. Do you want to try it out? Sometimes they're like, no, I like the stuff I've been using since 1973.
Wow.
Just give me that, as hard as that is to find nowadays. Or, oh, yeah, I want, like, they have that now? Like, yeah, let's get that. Let's rock with it. And that's kind of how that goes.
So you're right. It really is. You're going kind of, like, beyond customization. You're kind of taking into the whole human lifestyle arena now. So there's so many different factors. I'm going to ask, because we're getting closer to the end of our interview, how do you keep this all in your mind when you're fabricating this? I mean, there's so many different factors that you're taking into account. How do you keep it all together? I mean, this is just like, wow.
Probably like the way that you and I have been conversing. You see how sporadic my brain is. I guess that's just like how this one works. You know, I don't know if it's defective or effective.
It's amazing how those two work in tandem, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, man, it is so hard to concentrate on one thing, but it's a good thing I need to be concentrating on several different ones. Yeah, it's, you know, it's experience. It's, you know, I've, at this point I've been doing it almost a decade. You know, for me, I think that's why I really pitch concepts when we bring someone in, is like, look, you know, it's going to be hard to remember the laid out path of how to do this. But if you can retain concepts of and see in your mind's eye what you're trying to achieve and see the little nuances to what you're working on, like is the pin going to drop in straight for the suspension system? When I say a pin, think of a sock at the end of a limb that has a pin with notches in it, and they drop down into a socket. They put their socket on, and then a ratchet clicks them in, like kind of like a snowboard bootstrap in a way. And where's the release pin going to be? You want it medial anterior, so on the inside and the front, so it's easy for them to access. So if you have that concept, you have a new lock that's come in that's all the rage, it's new, this is the cutting edge technology, and you look at it and it's like, conceptually that's the same as this 211 lock that we've been doing for years. I think I understand how to do this. And you know, you look at your instructions that it comes with, which half the time we wind up, you know, throwing over your shoulder. But you know, that I feel like that's the best way of knowing and retaining and keeping track of all these things, is as long as you understand the concepts, you don't have to always remember the fine details. But you can also, there's material to refer to. Like a lot of companies that produce these components will have like instructions and stuff online. And there's booklets, like guidelines to go about. Because it's not like, when I say instructions, I don't want you to think like, okay, here's the cookie recipe. It's like, no, like, see what the situation is with the device and the patient, and then here's like pretty much what you have to do with it.
Modify the recipe as needed.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's, yeah.
Yeah. So people are into cooking and art and science and anything else that you can mix in there. This is the field for you. You know.
Let me ask one last question while I have you here. And any kind of art is not without its tools. So talk to me just a little bit about the kind of tools that you'll use in this profession.
So we use, you know, hex head wrenches. You know, like at the most basic level, we're using like hex head wrenches. We're using Phillips head screwdrivers. Flathead screwdrivers, pipe cutters, vacuum systems, infrared ovens.
Infrared.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Infrared. We'll use, that's how we form our thermoplastics.
Okay.
We'll use infrared ovens to heat them to a point where they become malleable. And then you would put that onto a vacuum platant, which you would have your positive mold on. And then you would do what's called like a bubble form on your platen, and then release your vacuum, and then it sucks the molten plastic down onto the mold, and that captures the shape of your modification or the practitioner's modifications. So we use things like that, cast saws, band saws, hack saws, shore form rasps for plaster molds, alignment jigs, which are made to, you know, when the practitioner sees a patient, you know, you've made the device, you know, you have a pylon, which is a stick underneath a socket that attaches to a foot. And sometimes you need to adjust the angle and like, okay, they test walked them. And this, with this angle that we've put this socket relative to the foot in, is the optimal angle that we want to have in our definitive prosthetic. So we use what's called an alignment jig to capture that. So when we do our final fabrication, everything is as it was when the patient tested it out. So we have those, and then different computer systems to keep track of these things, to note what we've done. Ever classic broom, because we make quite a mess.
Okay.
When we do these right. things. Then you have your Dremels and the Troutman routers, which are basically like these mechanized sanders, drum sanders. Anything that you can think of, we have so many tools. I really can't even go through all of them right now, unless you got another 6 hours. But same thing, conceptually, if like you understand how a tool works, you're like, I could use that for this. Blow torches, Beavis fire.
For those pyromaniacs.
Oh, yeah. Right. A lot of fun, all kinds of different things. And I always joke, because Olivia, who you had interviewed before, she's very textbook. We're very like-minded, but she's very by-the-book ways of doing things. But she's also very innovative. It's very impressive. She's quite a brilliant person. But she's very much, this is how this tool is supposed to be used. And we have a new practitioner in Mitch, so he's very much learning the ins and outs of our company. And Olivia's teaching him, this is the way this tool is meant to be used. And I'm like, and you can also use this as a hammer if it's too far away. it's fun. It's fun. I like to try to keep the environment as happy-go-lucky, in those times. And we use so many things. And it's constantly like, oh, look, we have this deburrer I found at Home Depot that they used for whatever. We can use it for this. Like, oh, cool. Let's do it. We got a powder coating machine now, and I think we've used it like twice on actual devices and like probably like 16 times on our own things. Ooh, I'm going to make this thing black. it's anything. It's anything you bring to the table. Bring your hobbies. That's how you innovate, and that's how we grow, and that's how we are available to create things that the patient needs that nobody's thought of before. So
there's innovation, there's great flexibility, job to life ratio, mm-hmm. You can support yourself doing it, and at the same time you're making a positive effect on the people that you're making these prostheses for. Mm-hmm. What's not to love about the job? Carbon's itchy? Okay.
That's about it.
Maybe that's the only downside.
I'd say so.
What do you think? Do you think this job is for you? It very well could be. I want to thank our information specialist on Career Explorers today, Will McComas, Technical Director at Real Life Prosthetics. Will, I hope to have you back again. Thank you so much for your time and for your expertise.
I'd love to. Yeah, thanks for having me on. And if any of y'all looking for a job, hit me up at, I'll give you a business card.
Okay, sure. Absolutely. Where can they get in touch with you?
So we have a website that Dana's put together very well. It's realifeprosthetics.com. They can call our Abingdon office. It's 410-569-0606. Wow, I remembered it. usually I have to Google it when I have to call. You can call there, ask for me. If anybody's interested in shadowing, just seeing what we do, we'd love to have you come by.
That's great.
So that's an option. We've had several students come through, and it's always a blast. It's a lot of fun. And then you get to see what we're actually doing. And so if anybody's interested, if you like to work, you have a knack for art and want to help people out. And it's a wonderful place to be.
Do you hear that, students? There is an opportunity to shadow people on the job. How important is that? Once again, I want to thank Will McComas, the technical director at Real Life Prosthetics, for coming on to the show today. Will, we're going to have you back again as soon as I can.
Awesome. It'd be great.
You're going to keep blowing my mind with all of this great information. Please like and subscribe to all of WHFC's podcasts, HCC 360, which keeps you in the know about all the offerings here at Hartford Community College, the Veterans SITREP, where we connect the veteran and their families to real usable resources, and this one, WHFC Presents. For Career Explorers, I'm Matt Terry. We'll see you next time, Career Seeker.